السلام عليكم ورحمة الله everyone. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
It's a pleasure and honor to speak today here, and I'm grateful to the organizers, especially to Hojatul Islam, Dr. Jahangir, who invited me very kindly to come to speak to you. As teachers, you know, storytelling is how important, of course, and it is an art of inculcating concepts into the mind, not only of children, even of adults. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used this art in the best way in the Quran. Quran, you know, it's a piece of art. Apart from being a revelation, it's a piece of art. It's a literature which excels all other Arabic literature of his time. And up till now, of course, no one has been able to produce something which by far would somehow is similar to this book. And the art, of course, is not only literature, not only choice of the words, which are very important. For example, you can see that when Allah describes paradise, choice of words are very different from when Allah is telling a historical story. In description of paradise, words are usually exotic, foreign, giving this sense of aloofness, highness about paradise. Usually, if you follow the Quran in the description of paradise, you will see that many, many foreign words, Persian, Abyssinian, Egyptian terms are used in description of paradise, which were very exotic for the Arabs of the time, because Allah wants to say this is a different world. This is not something that is similar to what you know here. When the historical stories, accounts are mentioned, different use of terms are used. However, these stories are, as is mentioned in Surah Yusuf alayhi salam, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. It is only for ibrah. I don't give these stories to give you historical account of what happened. Unlike Bible, you see, the stories in the Bible are very detailed, sometimes very boring. You just compare the story of Ayyub alayhi salam, Job, in the Quran and in the Bible. I really tried a couple of times to read through the story of Ayyub in the Bible. I couldn't finish it. It's so long, so detailed. Discussions are going into different areas and branches, but you see, just in one paragraph, when the story of Ayyub is mentioned in the Quran, in two places, one is in Surah Sa'd and the other in Surah Anbiya, you love to repeatedly read this account, a very one paragraph that Allah gives about this incident, and details are not mentioned. It's for Ibra. What is Ibra? Ibra is from Ubur. You listen to this story, you hear this story, now move to a concept that I want to teach you. Move to what I want to inculcate in your mind. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. For people of intellect, for people of thinking, there are, of course, Ibra. They don't just look at the story, they just don't just listen to the story itself. They listen, and there is something invoked in their mind of something else, of something which is quite long-lasting, something which life-changing, game-changing, so to speak. And this is the beauty of the stories in the Quran. Now, the stories of the Quran sometimes are mentioned in a unique way, and only once, like the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, is mentioned only once, but in a more detailed way in the Quran. And sometimes they are repeated. Now, I will talk about these repeated stories, which is like, for example, the story of Musa alayhi salam or Ibrahim alayhi salam, which are repeated in different chapters of the Quran. But one thing about these stories, Allah says that these are all parables. Now, parable has three meanings. وَضَرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ in Surah Yasin, all of you know. Give them the example, the parable, مَثَل of a city where we sent our messengers. Now, parable has three meanings. We have to be careful when we see a word in the Quran, we do not confuse between different meanings. These are called wujuh of a word, a term. Wujuh means different meanings, a homonymous sort of term with different meanings. And usually what happens, because we do not know these wujuh, we confuse between different aspects of an account given in the Quran. Since old days, scholars have written books about these wujuh. I think those of you who have attended the tafsir classes know that these al-wujuh wal-nadha'ir, there are many books written in wujuh wal-nadha'ir, synonyms and homonyms in the Quran. Mathal is a homonymous term in the Quran. One meaning of mathal is example. A true story is mentioned to give you a lesson. This is mathal, right? وَضْرَبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. This is a true story. This is a city, it was a city, Mursalun was sent to it, and then Allah gives the account, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْأَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. All these are true stories. It is a mathal, meaning an example. Sometimes mathal means a parable, not a true story. It's not a true story, but I am mentioning something so that you understand a concept. Mostly the parables of the gospel, the parables that Jesus alayhi salam gave to his companions and people were like this. They were not true stories. Like, for example, the parable of the sower. I advise all of you search in the internet about the parable of the sower in the gospel and read it. It's very, very beautiful, and it invokes many ideas in your mind that a sower wanted to sow crops, and on the way some of the seeds fell on the rocky ground, and then some of the seeds fell on good ground, on bad ground, and then it gives example of how the words of God fall in the heart of the people. This is a parable. Parable has no true story behind it, but it gives us a sort of story, imaginational story, which invokes meanings into our mind. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا, this is a parable in Surah Zumar, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا رَجُلًا فِيهِ شُرَكَاءُ مُتَشَاكِسُونَ وَرَجُلًا سَلَمًا لِرَجُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَانِ مَثَلًا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. God gives you the parable of one man who is owned by two people. You know, at that time when there was slavery and people were bought. Now imagine one man has two masters. What will happen? It's just like one man having two wives, isn't it? One man has two masters. What will happen? Of course, always being rebuked by both of them, wants to go there. The other one say, no, you have to work here more. When goes there, they say, why you came late? You see, this is the parable of a disbeliever who worships different gods. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا. See, this parable is not given to us to think about a man being owned by two people. No, if you are not putting all your trust in God, then you are afraid of everything in this world. Then you have different masters in this world. So God is giving this parable to us so that it invokes that meaning of trustfulness in Allah, just being Hanif, only having one direction in this world, and it's very good. If we think about it, this is a very palpable, tangible example that Allah gives us. The other meaning of mafal in the Quran is simile. It's not a parable, it's not an example, it's a simile. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتَهَا وَإِنَّ أَوْحَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. The simile of those who take friends, guardians beside Allah is like the spider creating a web. And how weak that web is. You see, we usually in our social relation, this is very, very beautiful simile. In our social relations, we think that by making connections to people, having so many contacts and such things, we are going to be strong, we are going to have a sort of good support from people. It's just like the web of the spider, it's nothing. You just build your relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is all. You don't need all these connections and relations and such things. Of course, we connect to people, we have relations with people, not having hope, not placing hope on them, but to socialize, to be helpful to them. Our only hope should be placed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is another meaning of mathal. Now, the amthal wa tilkal amthalu نَذْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. All these mathals that we give in the Quran, whether it's a story, a true story, whether it's as an example, whether it's a parable, whether it's a simile, we give it so that people of intellect ponder on it, think about it. وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ فَعَبَى أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا كُفُورًا. In this Quran, we expanded, elaborated, bringing every type of mathal. Whether it's a story, whether it's a simile, whether it's a parable, we have brought it here so that people understand. But most of the people abstain but from being kafur, ungrateful. Now, so you see how important it is, and Allah actually has brought this several times in the Quran to our attention, that we are giving you these parables, these examples, these similes, so that you understand. It means that without them, we cannot really understand spiritual concepts. We need these stories, whether true stories or parables or whatever, we need them to understand the spiritual concepts. And the beauty of the stories of the Quran, where you see repetition in it, is that if, for example, the story of Moses is going to be told to us from the beginning to the end, it becomes very boring. If Allah wants to give a full account of that story, of course, because the story of Yusuf is very beautiful, it has given in all in one, and that's why it's called أَحْسَنُ الْقَصَصِ نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. This is the most beautiful story that I'm telling you. And there are many, many lessons that you should learn by the way of invocation from this story of Yusuf. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. Those who have questions about relations of man and man, relations of man and God, relation of good and evil, then go and read this story of Yusuf. There are many, many signs I have revealed to you in this story of Yusuf. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. But as it is so beautiful and attractive, you just want to see what will happen, it's given all at once. But other stories, it's in bits and pieces. You have to build it together. And that's the beauty of it. Let me just give you one example. The story of Musa alayhi salam. You think that the story of Musa is repeated in many places. In Surah Shu'ara, in Surah Nam, in Surah Qasas, in Surah Taha, and many other surahs, for example, in Surah Nazi'at. But when you think about it, you see that it's just like different windows to the story. It doesn't repeat itself. It just gives you, at, in every instance where it's mentioned, and of course it's mentioned in the context of what Allah wants to tell us, wants to invoke in our mind, in every chapter there is a new window. Now let me tell you, in three chapters where it starts exactly the same, but when you look at it, you say, no, there are different windows into this story which are opening to us. For example, in Surah Taha, وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَىٰ إِذْ رَعَ نَارًا فَقَالَ لَأَهْلِمْ كُثُ. Hal, the story of Moses come to you, that when he saw fire and he said to his people, to his family, that wait, I want, you know, he had lost his way, he was going back from Madian to Egypt with his family, wife and child, or children, we don't know. Then there was rain, it was dark, the wife was pregnant, as some accounts may mention, and he lost his way. He lost his way, it was very cold, then suddenly he saw a fire. The family didn't see, he saw, إِنِّي أَنَسْتُ نَارًا, I see a fire. Okay, let me go, you stay here, I go to see whether I can find the way. There should be someone there, someone should have lit that fire. There should be someone there, I ask him about the way, what was the direction, or I bring some fire. Okay, لَعَلِّي أَعْتِيكُم مِّنْهَا بِقَبَسٍ أَوْ أَجِدُ عَلَى النَّارِ هُدَى. Either I bring you some fire, or I find guidance there. Maybe there's someone can guide us. Now, falamma ataha. This is in Surah Taha, it says falamma ataha. In Surah Qasas, it says falamma ataha. In Surah Naml, it says falamma ja'aha. The same thing. When he came. When he came to that fire. Okay? What happened? You see, the account is very different in the three surahs. Falamma ataha. In Surah Taha, he said, "Falamma ataha nudiya ayya Musa inni ana rabbuk fakhla an alayk innaka bil wadi al muqaddas tuwa." I am your Lord. Take off your shoes out of respect. Maybe that is a sign of respect. And you are in a very, very holy land. Why holy? Because I have made connection in this land with you. Now you see what Allah says here is the content of the message of what comes to prophets. Not very much about go to Pharaoh as in other surahs. وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكُ, I have chosen you. فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُعَى. Now listen. Listen what I want to tell you. إني أنا ربك إني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري. So establish salat. وأن الساعة لآتية أكاد أخفيها. The hour is coming, I have hidden it so that people do whatever they want. If we know that there is a hell and paradise for sure, if we know resurrection comes for sure, everyone, then of course we behave ourselves. No, I want to see who does it without that certitude which comes to you. أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى. This is the way it's mentioned in Surah Taha. Now, in Surah Naml, it's very beautiful. Very beautiful and very perplexing. فَلَمَّا جاءها نودي أن بورك من في النار ومن حولها فسبحان الله رب العالمين. It was cold, you know, this place is blessed by Allah. One who is in the fire, who is in the fire and who's round it. There are angels around here. You don't see them. And you yourself, you're all blessed by this connection which is made. And the one who is in the fire, I don't want to go to elaborate in this because this is very deep, very deep. I leave you to think about this. This is one piece of the Quran you can think about for months. نُودِيَ أَنْ بُورِكَ مَنْ فِي النَّارِ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا فَسُبْحَانَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Of course, Allah is above having a physical manifestation or embodiment. However, there is something in this fire which is very much blessed. Now, look in Surah Qasas. فَلَمَّا أَتَاهَا نُودِيَا مِنْ شَاطِئِ الْوَادِ الْأَيْمَنِ فِي الْبُقْعَةِ الْمُبَارَكَةِ مِنَ الشَّجَرَةِ أَيَّا مُوسَى. He was called from the right-hand side place, from where the tree was, and all these things. Allah in this surah, Allah is giving us the postcode of where on Mount Sinai Moses received that revelation. So you see, my time is over. I would have thought about some other examples otherwise, but you think that it's a repetition of the story. It is not. Although it starts in the same way, but it's not a repetition. In every chapter, Allah is opening a new window. Like, for example, in Surah Nazat, well, although time is up, but when I start speaking, I cannot stop, okay? Sorry, I'm not going to give this away. Look in Surah Nazat. وَعَلَىٰ تَعَقَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَىٰ. Has the story of Moses come to you? إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَىٰ. Now you think this is the story of Moses. It's not. It's not the story of Moses. It's the story of her own. إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَىٰ اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ. Now go to Pharaoh. Now I want to give you the story of Pharaoh. اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ تَغَىٰ فَقُلْ حَلَّكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَىٰ فَعَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَىٰ فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَىٰ ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ. Now, it gives the story of Pharaoh here. How Pharaoh encountered this message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the things that we can think about. It's so beautiful. When we get to these beauties of the Quran, we really want to recite forever. You really want to read and read and read again and again and again. And this is the beauty of the Quran. Inshallah, Allah will guide us with the guidance of Quran. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alayhi tahirin.